to Life with a Girlfriend with Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie.
Hi, Jules. I guess that makes me Christine Marie. Well, actually, I'm Mark Sargent.
That's right.
That's my new name.
Yes, Mark Sargent.
Do you know who Mark Sargent is?
Not really. I don't know who he is. You know, is he one of the dicks on, you know, the...
Chicago PD?
No, I was going to say, was he one of the husbands? Like, was he one of the Darrens?
Oh my God.
Is that Mark Sargent?
You meant, when you said dicks.
I thought his name was Dick.
Dick Sargent.
But is that his name?
No. Is it? Mark Sargent. No, Mark Sargent is the head guy of the Flat Earther movement. And
why? So you not only know about Flat Earther movement, you know the guy who started Flat Earther movement.
And you're supposed to, no, it's like a thing now. You're supposed to say, you're supposed to go, if anybody goes, hey, who are you? Oh, I'm Mark Sargent. Oh. No, I'm Mark Sargent.
Oh.
And then the whole, you know, everybody's supposed to be like, no, I'm Mark Sargent.
It's and like so that. You can't catch him.
You can't catch him.
Can't catch this because everybody's Mark Sargent.
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
And so I watched a whole documentary, like an hour and a half, on flat earthers. And whoa. I literally know less now than I did when I started. I'm really being into truthful, except that I'm Mark Sargent. And he lives in a beautiful home with his mom mm-hmm. on Whidbey Island, which years ago, I wanted to move to Whidbey Island.
So
I had it all set
crushed?
Out. My heart was crushed. We were going to live in Coopville.
Yeah.
Coopville, Washington, on Whidbey Island.
It's actually, tell more about Whidbey Island, because why you loved it so much, the concept of it.
I loved it because it was in a rain shadow.
Yes. It's near Seattle,
but it's in a rain shadow, meaning it doesn't get rain every
right.
day. It doesn't, it just
it's
not.
It's actually arid in some sense.
Yeah.
Because it's
and
in
the
a
temperature
rain
is, because I'm a girl that has like, I live in the idea that I like temperatures from 40 to 65.
Yeah.
That's just me. This is who I am. And you can't find places easily.
Did you Google that? Did you say, where can I live?
100%.
You did Google it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That works out.
And this was years ago. And so I was like, oh my God. And so I started studying on it. And then I moved from studying to looking for places. And I did this all on my own. I didn't really even tell anybody. And then at some point I presented it to you and Daddy.
Yeah.
I go, here is where I'd like to live.
Yeah.
Here is why. It's in a rain shadow. Look at how beautiful it is. It's all on an island.
Right.
It's all coastal. And the temperatures are right. And we could afford to live there. And I even had where Dad could work and everything.
Yes.
And you both went,
I don't want to live.
No. And then since then, I've been just trying to find myself.
You bring it up to us periodically to
I
remind
do.
Us
I do.
How unhappy it's been not knowing that there has been a perfect place in the world for you and
yes.
you guys have denied us
yes.
denied you going
yeah
and I'm like I didn't deny you going I
no,
just didn't
you
know said,
you
I just didn't want to go
you just didn't I didn't you didn't want my family to come with me
yeah no I mean yes.
I'd go all by myself
yes.
yay oh yay
it was just been a big transition that's all
you, oh I know it would have
you
been.
Would have if you would have gotten me 20 years earlier possibly
yeah
you know,
before you met the love of your life.
That's right. Oh, God.
It was so weird, too. I was going to talk about being
now, just to go back, though, the love of my life, he would have gone with you.
He would have, exactly.
I was more scared of, like, the fact that there's an active volcano nearby. You know, it's near earthquakes. There's a lot going down.
And I think in the ensuing years, they did have a sinkhole there.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. So, but I don't think anything really bad happen.
I do feel bad about you not experiencing it for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say because you and quote unquote the love of my life, which happens to be you, but that's okay.
Yay.
You guys both hate the fact that I like these seasons overall. Like living in North, you know, Midwest, you have these organic seasons, of course, but I don't know why. I just like those seasons, you know?
Yeah, I don't mind seasons. I mean, do you not admit,
it's been
Julie,
a long winter.
Under penalty of lying, that
my
this
hand
has
is on
been
the Bible.
A long effing winter?
It's been a long effing winter.
And I mean, we're still sliding on
ice. It's March now, and we're still sliding on ice. And this is not how it's usually been. I mean, This is crazy. This is crazy weather. Yeah. Crazy cold.
It's cold, and we had the polar vortex thing. Yeah. And I mean, nobody got mail for 3 or 4 days this winter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how cold it was.
I do have to say this. If this is due to weather or climate getting warmer and climate change, well, I'm not for it. I was for like the earth getting a little bit, like a half degree warmer. That'd be kind of nice,
yeah,
I guess.
Right.
But, you know, having like, you know, this weekend will be like negative 17, you know, at night for a split second, you know, and you're like, oh. Yeah, you know, that's just too cold.
Yeah,
and that wasn't the
but
cold
here's the
we've
thing.
Been.
You, for a girl who loves the seasons, you are the weather girl. You love to look at weather. You like to Google weather.
I
you
do.
Like to phone weather. You like to ask Alexa the weather.
I'm just getting
you
old.
Want to know the weather not only for the day but for the next 4 days.
Yeah,
I mean, you just really are this girl that loves weather.
So after you saw this documentary,
yeah.
And now you are proclaiming, I have to get you a name tag now because you're going to say, I'm Mark Sargent.
Mark Sargent.
So it's, you know, life with the girlfriends of Mark Sargent and Julie. Got it? So tell me what the big dealio, though. Like, what at the end of it, yeah. are you a flat earther?
At the end of it, I know.
No,
I mean,
okay.
At the end of it, I know a little bit. I know really not that much more
right.
than what I did before, except that it is a movement that people have lost their families over.
Yeah.
Like, they had this convention, and probably 8 out of 10 people that they interviewed said, oh, I'm now divorced. I no longer have a relationship with my brother, my children,
yeah.
over this concept.
Yeah.
So, and then...
Can I stop you there for a second?
Sure.
As a psychotherapist, a licensed, trained psychotherapist, have client, all the good stuff.
Right.
Do you really think that's the only reason people's families broke up is because they, this one issue.
Right.
They believe... Because I can tell you right now, I mean... I believe the earth is round, and that topic of conversation comes up never in my daily life.
Right.
Never.
Right.
It never comes up in my daily life.
Right.
So I'm thinking, if I believe the earth was flat, what would it care to you?
Right.
I mean, like, how often would it come up?
I agree. I totally agree. But you're right. You're heading in the right direction, because at this big national or international conference,
yeah.
some of the speakers... After they, you know, would talk about their movement and things like that, alluded to the fact that we got together because, hey, we never felt like we fit in.
Yeah.
I always felt different. I was always like an outsider looking in, and everybody was shaking their heads. So these are people that have found a home in this movement, and almost as an aside, there's all of these clusters of symptoms and syndromes that they have, like, you know, I would go to you and say, you've got to believe, I'm showing you the proof that the earth is flat, you know. And like you said, you don't lose brother, you don't, you know, there's no, you don't lose your kids over that, unless you're prepared to lose your kids
right.
over that.
Like, okay, if my brother came to me and said,
Julie,
I've been down this rabbit hole on YouTube. I've been, you know, there's a back end to the CNN, and it's telling me right now that the Earth is flat. It's all a conspiracy, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you go check it out,
and I go, okay, let me go look at it. Mm-hmm. He goes, promise you'll look at it. I go, I'll look at it. I go, but you know, and then I'll be done with it. But then he'll go, then. He goes deeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then every conversation we have
has to be about
the flat earth.
Right.
And then in my mind, I would go, you know, either I'm playing his game,
because
I do this. Sometimes I go, like, I've got, like, one of Doug's girls, she's into the marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So to, and she's a millennial. Mm-hmm. So to be, so what I have more to talk to her about, mm-hmm. I try to have an open mind around it. Mm-hmm. And I, when I hear podcasts about it, I kind of like listen more intently and like,
so
oh.
So you have something to talk to her about?
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, you know.
Right.
And then.
Which is what sane people do, right?
Just, yeah. And I, because it's like, well, I can give my effort. I can up my effort just a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. It's funny though. The last time I saw her. I think we were filming for mm-hmm. our movie. Mm-hmm. And that was Christmas, but before that. Mm-hmm. And she did say to me, she said, Julie, we always put marijuana when we're together.
And I'm like, oh, shit, she caught me. She caught me.
That's great. I go,
because. Oh, my God, Julie's coming over. I got about marijuana.
And she'll know more than I know, but she'll have never been partake of it. So we can't really talk about the joys of it. We got to talk about the conspiracy behind it and all
well,
different kinds.
That's another thing, though. Yeah. Once you are a flat earther,
yeah.
there is a that you there is a suitcase that you begin unpacking
yes.
that is full of other conspiracies.
Got it.
About NASA, about our education system,
yeah.
And on and on. And so
yeah.
it's not just, you know, that. It's kind of like marijuana in that people say it opens the door to everything. To
yeah,
other
it's a gateway
things.
To other
it's
drugs.
It's a gateway drugs. Well, flat earthers are gateways to other conspiracies.
Well, it's interesting because aliens used to be that gateway.
Yes.
And sometimes revelations are the, you know, the returning of Christ used to be that for other things as
yes,
well.
Yes.
And how the Vatican, yeah, it gives us down this rabbit hole. I remember listening, you used to be big fans of Swerdlow, Stuart Swerdlow.
Stuart Swerdlow.
And then he changed his website right. to where you had to pay to play.
You had to pay just to get on his website.
Just to get on his website.
Like, what?
And we used to buy his books and
yeah.
things like that.
We got dozens of his
and
books.
And then when we wanted to charge a monthly membership,
yeah.
that was pretty
right
substantial.
Away, yeah.
I'm like, well,
you ain't that great.
Well, and more just it no longer became a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I had a habit formed.
Beautiful.
And
yeah, good idea.
And then
yeah.
he broke my habit, right. and then I'm like, oh, I can live without you.
Yeah.
And you know what? My life isn't any different.
No.
I mean, you know, wasting. I don't want to say wasting, but
it is energy, though. You do
taking
it,
up energy,
it
brain space
energy.
For conspiracy. It was, you know, or thinking that the Illuminati did everything and mm-hmm. the reason why you can't succeed is because yeah. you are being programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're being programmed in a lot of different ways.
Sure.
Negativity
yeah.
is normal.
I mean, you can legitimately look back to things and realize that it wasn't so nice.
Right.
Things weren't so nice.
I don't know why our brains play back the things that happened horribly in our lives over and over again, but the pretty darn good things, they fade fast.
Right. But I meant like in history, the history
yes.
of the country.
Yes. In the history of the country, we never talk, we mark things by pretty horrible stuff. And then some good stuff mm-hmm. marked by pretty horrible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then some good stuff marked by pretty horrible
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
You know, but there's a lot of good stuff going on continuously, you know?
Right.
But in our favorite prayer, you're supposed to do something, you know, just for a day,
yeah.
do something nice for somebody
yeah.
or something good and not be found out.
Not be found out. And if they find out, it doesn't count. You got to do something else.
You got to do something else.
That is fun. It has been fun for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just for a day. I mean, we help each other out.
Right.
I do good stuff for you all the time, girl. And I never tell you about
know.
It.
Oh, I can tell.
Can you?
Yes.
Has your life been better?
100%.
Good.
I can tell. Oh my God, she did something nice. I'm not, and I can't acknowledge it.
I can't acknowledge it. It won't count.
It won't count. And then
oh, but your devilish
some...
plan could be this. You could call me out on it.
Yeah.
And I'm going.
Now
I'm,
you got to something else.
I got something else good. I got something else good. I got to do one more thing good. I'm gonna alter personality just to do stuff good. So,
but can I?
Yeah.
Let me just say too. Like they went to, like NASA.
Yeah.
They actually, Mark Sargent and this the female counterpart, I think her name is Patricia Steer. And what's interesting, like within any conspiratorial movement,
yeah.
there's always a few people then that say that the leaders of the conspiratorial movement are shills for the CIA.
Oh, of course.
And are players or actors,
yeah.
and then they are the real ones. And so
yeah.
the same thing has happened with these two now. There's been a movement started that these guys aren't there. Like Patricia Steer, her name is. And the people that are now against her, they say that because her last name, her first name ends in CIA.
Yeah,
that shows that she's part of the the CIA, and steer meaning like, hey, she's meant to steer you wrong, and so stay away from her. So, but anyway, they both went to NASA.
The name game. I love that.
Hence I'm Mark Sargent.
Yes. Yeah. He's a sergeant of all this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, very interesting.
But anyway, I just want to say briefly that they went to NASA and they brought their cameras in and stuff to see the museum and things like that. And it was pretty sad because the astronaut suits and stuff, they're all kind of like, they got a broken watch. I mean, there's just like shitty things that are there that where you're like, oh my God. And there's no security. Walk in and then you go out into the back and it's called the Rocket Museum. And it's just a tiny little door. That is the entrance. And you walk in and there's just this big, big ass rocket in there. Like it's like a half a mile long. There's nobody there. You just walk through. And you go, well, this is a sad story state. It's proof to them that their flat earth movement has got some teeth, because if you really cared about space and all this, it would not be this.
It's the museum, though, right?
Correct.
It's not where people go to work.
No.
All right, that makes me feel a little better.
It's the Rocket Museum and NASA Museum in Houston.
When you were growing up, did you ever get NASA and NASA confused?
No,
I always did. I always thought the same thing. Like, we're going to NASA.
Hey, we're going
to NASA. Cruise to NASA.
We're going to Jamaica.
I'm like, really? Is that where I know? I'm a moron, but that's okay. Sometimes my brain hears things wrong. I don't know what to tell you.
So, but I do feel that, because I really never got it, you know, when people would say, you know, oh, like Joe Rogan would have on, you know, some people that were flat earthers, and I would try to understand.
Yeah.
And I still don't get it. I know that they were trying to do, they ended up trying to do an experiment.
Yeah.
And to prove that the earth was flat. Right. And it had to do with lasers and things like that. And they just couldn't. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get it to work. It kept showing that the Earth had a curvature in it. Somehow, it just didn't make sense to them.
You know that has to be wrong.
That the experiment was wrong.
It's called bias. You know, the one thing, since I am a structural designer and you know have my master's degree, when you're doing your experiments or your studies, I should say, not experiments. I don't do that. Or studies. Or you're doing like meta studies and you're trying to, you really don't want to have a bias for the end result, or it taints what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they, instead of saying, hey, I don't know if the earth is flat or round, that would be their assumption.
Right.
I can have an idea like, well, maybe I.
And that would be how real scientists start out.
Yeah.
They would just start out with the question.
Earth, yeah. Is the earth
and
flat?
And not have a bias either way.
Because if you have a bias, then first of all, anything that says no, you're going to throw it down as, oh, it must have been done wrong, mm-hmm. or this can't be right, mm-hmm. or somebody messed with my results, or the laser's wrong, or whatever, you know. But it's so sad to me but yet, if it brings you into community.
Yeah, that's what it did.
Go for it.
That's what it did.
There are weirder communities out there
into
than
community.
That. Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, as a psychotherapist, I think that's what, to me, was impressive, is that these people are people that never felt connected, never felt part of anything, felt left out, have lost, you know, families and things like that, and have found a community that accepts them because of this one thing.
And I understand the community part because there are times that I feel weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't feel this world is for me anymore.
Right.
And luckily, I have a family that accepts me for who I am no matter what, even if I'm a flat earther. I shouldn't preface. I put no matter what in bunny ears. because I'm sure there's a level here. There's a limit. There's a line drawn. You're just like, hey, we're going to Coopsville, your dad and I. We love you, but we're heading out. You've just kind of crossed the line here, girlfriend. We can't do it anymore.
You go, can I come to Coopsville with you?
Like, no. Yeah.
But I did see in this documentary how beautiful Whidbey Island is. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
And you can't go now because...
I can go to visit, and I will go to visit that place when I take my cruise to Alaska to see the whales. And I'm actually foreshadowing this, and I'm prophesying that that I'm going to take a cruise, but I will probably drive to the Northwest.
Yes,
and explore the Northwest, and then get on my cruise and see the whales.
Yes.
And see the sperm whales, especially
the only problem with these I love this idea of going away too. Mm-hmm. Is our little doggy? It's like, what do you do with him for a month?
Nobody will take him.
No, I'm saying that. That's not it. It's just that, you know, it's like, what do you do with your kid for a month? You know.
That's so funny.
You know, and then do you worry about him? What if he gets free? Will they worry about him like we would worry about him?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then you have to give that up. Or what we could do they have cruises
take
for dog?
With?
Yeah.
No, I would not want to take him with.
Okay, you'd want a month break, really.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, we can work it out. We can work it out. Yeah. Where he goes now
he's
is fine.
He's been on my last nerve lately anyway.
Yeah. Where he goes is fine, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if we can afford to do all that, then we can afford to board him for a month.
Yes. Or we can afford somebody to come and stay here for a month.
Oh, I like that.
You know, take care of him.
Yeah.
And maybe
clean
a
the house.
And clean the house. Keep
please.
The house up.
Please clean the house.
So I saw a documentary. And actually, you saw it first, and mm-hmm. I want to talk about it, because we're talking about documentaries.
We're talking about hardcore documentaries.
This documentary comes across sad initially, but...
Just by the title.
Yeah, Abducted in Plain Sight. Mm-hmm. Wait, I was told to watch...
Abducted. In Plain Sight.
In Plain Sight. I was told to watch this documentary and was given no other information, but mm-hmm. you got to see this documentary. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I told you about it mm-hmm. just off the cuff. I said, mm-hmm. I have no idea what it's about. Mm-hmm. And then you saw it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make fun of this documentary because it's a wild ride. Mm-hmm. I can do that because the people that this happened to, they're mm-hmm. all, I mean, nobody.
First of all.
This happened in the 70s.
It happened in the 70s. So, okay. And everybody is still alive
now.
Except for the bad guy.
Except for the bad guy.
That's more than enough.
But honestly, he could have died of natural causes for all we know.
Yeah,
I mean, he lived to be in his 70s, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not. Yeah. So that's.
So that, knowing that, you feel better to put your time into this documentary.
Yes, because you know, like.
Abducted in plain sight.
And what. I would recommend everybody seeing this documentary because what it shows you is how there are times in our lives that we are just a little bit too gullible. No, that's
I would
right
recommend
word.
Everybody see this documentary because that was the 70s.
I know. You keep saying that.
I just think you don't understand.
I don't understand the
what
70s
the 70s then. Was like.
You know, the millennial who saw this, she said... 70s were horrible. People in there were horrible people in the 70s. And I think you guys are just coming off of a time where contradiction seemed everywhere.
Yes.
And a time where you needed to have more freedom. So everybody was really testing freedom, personal mm-hmm. freedom.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can understand why somebody's testing personal freedom is encroaching on your personal freedom. Mm-hmm. Now... You may have seen a meme about this show already.
Yes.
There are
many memes out there about this show.
Yes. One meme is a picture. So it's about this girl who is abducted in plain sight by a neighbor.
Her next door neighbor.
A family, you know, who had a family as
He's
well.
He's married. He has a family. And this girl, her parents are married. And they have like three other children.
Yes.
Two other daughters.
Yeah. And they're all Mormons. I mean, this is a... Mormon, this is in Utah, right?
Latter-day Saints.
No, it's Idaho.
Yeah.
And they keep saying we were raising our family in this perfect, idyllic? That's not
Ooh,
it.
Idyllic.
Idyllic.
What did she die of? Idyllic. Oh, the idyllic disease. Oh, my God.
Idyllic. You know, and they're just talking about this. And I'm like, oh. And I remember watching for the first 15 minutes because you had given me some clues. Mm-hmm. You said, you're going to start watching this and you're going to go, okay. And then you're going to go, it's going down so many weird rabbit holes mm-hmm. that at the end you're going, what the hell did I just watch? And then you said, there's aliens involved. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
I said, you think that you went down one rabbit hole and you go, oh, that's the rabbit hole. And then you go, oh, no, there's another rabbit hole. Then you go down that one and they go, oh, okay, so that was the rabbit hole. She's, oh, no, there's another rabbit hole.
And what you realize is that here's this idyllic family, loving two-parent family living in the 70s in beautiful Idaho. And all the kids are saying, like, what a great family they had. Their dad loved them. Their mom loved them. They're, you know, mm-hmm. the great family. Mm-hmm. And the
neighbor's family was a great family.
Supposedly, you know. I mean, yes,
It was. Yeah.
It was. They didn't interview any of the family, but yeah.
Say that again?
They didn't interview any of the family members.
No.
But we just assume.
In the documentary, they talk about the relationship that they had. They would take their kids to school. He would take, you know, it was just, everything was like a compound almost.
Exactly. And so.
And over the course of time.
Over the course of time.
The father of the other family developed a obsession with
one of the daughters.
The youngest daughter, I think.
No, I don't think she was the youngest. I don't know, though. I could be wrong. I'm going to say I'm wrong because I don't want to, because you tell me I contradict you all the time.
Oh, go ahead. Maybe she wasn't the youngest.
No, I'm not. I am wrong on this. This is something I don't need to be right about. So trust me. I'll back that up. I think you're totally right on that. And, but yeah, she developed fascination. Now, we're going to discuss this because I think we're going to head in this direction.
I think fascination is good, but obsession, obviously, is a better word.
Obsession. And to the point of, My only feeling is this. This guy did not have enough stuff to do in his life. Like, he didn't have Netflix in his life because he wasted a lot of time scheming and doing things to separate this girl from her family mm-hmm. in the weirdest ways. Mm-hmm. And
like he said, I want to take her horseback riding. And the mom goes, oh, you know, but she has piano practice. Oh, well, I'll wait until after piano practice. Then we'll go and we'll get in a little bit of riding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
And the daughter is listening to this going, I want to go riding.
I want to go horseback riding.
And you're like, I'm like, okay. As a normal parent, you go, you're taking you have kids of your own. You're not just grabbing my kid with your kids. You're taking my kid without your kids horseback riding?
But you see, you would say that without any of the lead up.
Yes.
But see, by this time, I think a lot of barriers are down.
They're good Mormon families.
I just think that a lot of barriers are down.
Well, one barrier down could be this, is that the father of the girl who was abducted talks about a time when...
Are you going to talk about that right now?
No, should I not?
Well, no, I just think that it's... I mean, I think you should, but I think it's too early
the
setup.
Okay, cool.
Because, you know, we're discussing... How this rabbit hole. You can hear
how this documentary has really effed us up. Because it really has effed me up. Because
it effs up a lot of people.
It does. Because from your perspective, the 70s were this wild time and you can see this happening.
I could see it happening, yes.
In my perspective, I'm like, these parents literally, did they have concussions? I mean, I can't think of anything that they did right.
Right.
They were kind and they were loving.
Yeah.
But they held jobs. I mean, nothing to me sounds like these are smart people.
Well, like, let me see. In the '70s, what did you think that it was? How weird did you think that I would send you to the grocery store in a car that you drove?
I think you're 9 or 10.
Yes.
Yeah. this was like early '80s, by the way. Yes. I looking back, I thought you gave me a lot of freedom. But, I mean, at that time, I thought, my parents are so cool. Now looking back, I think you guys are.
Sending you to the show.
Yeah.
You and Greg by yourself to see an R-rated movie.
Well, because you wanted some, it was a double feature, and Dad had to actually buy the tickets with us, so he had to pretend to go in there with us,
yeah,
and then he'd just sneak out. And so you, for 4 hours, you had alone time. Yes, I remember those times, yeah. And I remember the pedophile that was there that one time. And I'm like, this guy, we got,
you know. Did you, but we had taught you what to say when.
You had taught us about this because you had your own experiences already with them.
Right.
So
not the same pedophile.
No, thank God, because that would be weird. So you had already.
Stalking me the whole time.
Yeah. So we had already, you had already warned us about the one percenters or whatever it is and what to look for. And when I was hit in the head with it, figuratively, I was like, "Oh, I know what this is. I know what this is."
Yeah,
Yeah, and I wasn't afraid.
No,
because I was in a. I had been. Not only did you tell me about this, we had scenarios where we would act it
exactly,
act it out. That's you right. have to act it out. And I remember because you had to prepare when something happens. If you don't, you know, you might know the what to do, but if you don't practice doing it, mm-hmm. your body does not know how to react.
Exactly.
But you had already told us what to do, and yeah. we'd already, like, you know, there would be times Greg and I would be walking down the street, and you'd be coming in the van, and you're like, "Hey, little kitties, you want to see a puppy?" Like, "No, sir! Stranger, get away!" And then you go, "Hey, little guys, I got some candy over here. What do you think about that?" You're like, "No way, sir! No way, ma'am. We don't take candy from strangers."
Oh, but this one. "Oh, I lost my puppy. Could you help me find it? Come on in my van and we can go search for my puppy together. I'm so sad."
Yes. "No way." I go, "Your puppy's gone. Probably got hit by a car. Don't mean to break the news to you. But if I find the puppy, I'll take it to the shelter. You can pick it up there." So we had this thing.
That's right.
And because I remember later in life when... You and the Clintons have something in common, by the way. I remember listening to the Clintons talking about growing up and running for governor and the mm-hmm. president. Mm-hmm. And they literally would put Chelsea in a chair and start just screaming at her all the things that she's going to hear about her parents during the elections.
Oh, no.
So she would be desensitized to it.
Right, right, right.
And she'd get tough skin. And yeah. I'm like, that's exactly what my parents did about pedophiles.
We knew how to do this. That's
we
right.
knew what to do.
Exactly.
Like, you know, so, you know, most parents are like, "Well, I don't want to scare my kids."
Can you imagine Lillian driving a car?
At her age?
Yeah.
Well, she has a car. It's a Barbie car. And that would be hysterical. She'd come back. Her side seat is like filled with groceries. "My dad gave me the keys to my Barbie car and I have a list to go grocery shopping."
The only thing I said is, "Please don't have a wreck because I'll be in trouble."
Yeah. But see, this is we were so effing lucky. We were. That's the problem. We were just lucky.
And that family just wasn't as lucky.
No. Our family was just not that lucky.
The family in Utah, right? No. Idaho.
I mean, that's why there are people out there who do crimes, mm-hmm. like this guy, the neighbor guy.
Yeah.
Is a horrible person.
The time that we were talking about where he was taking her to the horseback riding lesson,
yeah.
that is officially when he abducted her. They never came back from that lesson.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And they found the guy's car, but... it was near a storage unit where he had kept a camper.
Oh, geez.
And
that's
so
right.
they transferred to the camper.
Right.
And then they went off. And I don't know how long they were gone, but she...
months or
yeah.
weeks. And they never...
And she was brainwashed. She would call home and say, "I want to marry
right.
B." That was his... that's what they called him, B. "I want to marry him." And I think in Mormon country... she could marry him at 13 or 14.
Yeah.
It wasn't unheard of.
It wasn't, which is like the 70s. Okay. Yeah.
I married your dad when I was 14.
Yeah, right. Very interesting. I feel like if I could be, because she was brainwashed. But she
and
was
that was
done
the first
so
time she was abducted. Yeah.
Yes. Here, can I explain how she was brainwashed? Because it was genius. And it took such thought and effort. This is why I'm like, this guy had not enough to do. And he didn't, I mean, sometimes you got to keep your men active a little bit. You know, I mean, to spend all these calories and energy on this crap, it's mind boggling mm-hmm. to me. So you know, she's drugged basically with, you know, sleeping pills or whatever. Or Benadryl, because like my bottle of Benadryl says, please don't give the kids to keep them tired, to keep them quiet.
And that's the last thing as you're leaving the door to give your babysitter.
Yeah.
This is, oh, and if they're bad, here's the Benadryl.
Wait, okay. So, oh, the 70s were great. No, I'm talking about now. Oh, that's true. That's right. So we're there. She's in a camper and she wakes up groggily. She doesn't know where she's at. And she's like, what's going on? And there's a tape recorder and it says play, or it starts to play or whatever.
Right.
And it's these two alien creatures.
Right.
Zeta and Zata, I don't know, something like that, from the planet something.
Right.
And they're talking about how she has alien blood in her, mm-hmm. and that she is meant to get pregnant to have an alien child so that it will save the world. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't do this,
The world will end in catastrophe.
And they'll have to go after her younger sister next.
Right.
Because she has alien blood too. So if she doesn't take the hit, they're going to go after her sister. Mm-hmm. And being a devout Christian, because Mormons are Christian, right? But she is ingrained with the birth story. Being a child, which I understand this. Being a child and you know, if I am not being pregnant without, you know, immaculate conception, I'm all in, you know, mm-hmm. and like, I'll do that. You know, I'll raise Christ. No problem. You know, you have those thoughts. So mm-hmm. here she is in her mind. She goes, I have a reference point for this story mm-hmm. and it's Christ. You know, mm-hmm. you're like, mm-hmm. I guess this is my journey. I mm-hmm. guess this is mine. And so at a certain age, she bought into this mm-hmm. to the point where when she got taken back home, she was a bitch.
She couldn't stand it. Yeah.
And no one could understand what's wrong with her.
Yeah, you're finally home.
Yeah.
And all she knew is that she was not completing this mission.
No, she kept calling it a mission. And she just kept saying, I just really felt so horrible that things were going to happen so badly because I was not completing my mission. Mm-hmm. And
now in the meantime,
yes.
I mean, she does get abducted a second time by the same man.
Yes.
And now you think, how does this happen? Because the parents now finally have their kid back.
Yes.
And they don't want to let this guy, this wonderful neighbor, get the kid back.
Right.
Take the kid again. But unfortunately, in the meantime, B has a little blackmail on both parents.
Yes. So before the initial abduction, B, you know, goes to the day. I think he owns a flower shop.
He's a florist.
I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Right.
So, it's the 70s, you know, that's all I'm going to say. And says, hey, let's go out for a ride. And the guy goes, okay, we can go for a ride, you know. And, mm-hmm. and during this ride, B mentions that he needs a little relief. And would this guy, the father,
release him?
And he ends up giving him a hand job right there in the van, mm-hmm. right there in the sun. Mm-hmm. And so here comes the meme. So I got a text of a meme of this dad who's now in his 70s.
Mm-hmm. He's still there.
Still
married to the
mom.
And
he feels very, I mean, I give this guy credit.
That he had to take this, I mean, that this comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? But it was the 70s. And it's good to know how things could go wrong so fast.
And the meme is?
The meme is, and it goes, it's a picture of him and the interviewer, Colin. So how far would you go for a friend? and so now that's been a big joke in my family.
Yeah.
Because Doug texts me.
Everybody's
like, yeah, you know, Scott just asked me to go for a ride with him. And he said he needs a release. What should I do? I go. Well, you know, honey, it's up to you. How far are you willing to go for a friend?
Dave comes in. Norm, would you like to go for a ride with me?
Man. Do you not know I have arthritis? I have the most common arthritis in the world. It's right here in my hand. I'm not going to be able to help you, dude. Yeah. And everybody's like, really? I'm thinking that 90% of friends haven't asked those questions. I'm guessing. But if you listen to Dan Savage, you think every friend has asked every friend to be playful.
I get by with a little help from my friends.
Bravo.
I get high with a little help from my friends.
Mic drop.
The only thing that, speaking of Dan Savage, you know, again, every once in a while, I have to bring out the blue barf bag.
100%.
And yesterday, I did, only because they were this one young kid.
Please talk about this in words that don't that are, you know.
What?
Funny, like, you know.
Not.
Like, instead of saying the C word, you say mashed potatoes or something like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Mashed potatoes.
So I don't want to be thrown up either right now.
This one kid wanted to know what he would do with a mouthful of mashed potatoes. And Dan said, well, you know, a lot of times you, with your partner, give the mashed potatoes back to the to the other guy. And in the process, you might lose a little mashed potatoes. However, then that guy continues on and gives you the mashed potatoes back.
Yeah.
Until literally there is no mashed potatoes left.
Oh. Yeah.
And that's a thing now.
That's a thing now.
Yeah. And at, that's when
which
I
is
needed...
keeping the potato industry alive, by the way. Good job. Yeah.
Because nobody wants all those carbs.
Exactly. Nobody can. Honestly.
Unless you have a little gravy.
How many times have you put mashed potatoes in your mouth and not swallowed because you can't want the carbs?
That's right.
My hand is raised, people.
You just want the flavor of the mashed potatoes.
How many times have you sucked the salt off of a fry because I don't want the carb of the fry? Now, if someone told me that just by having this in my mouth, I would have the carbs, I would be really sad. But okay, go for it, girlfriend.
So, well, I mean, no,
so
I
that
just
was blue
to...
bag time,
huh?
That was blue bag time.
That was, I almost wanted my mashed potato bag,
yeah,
you know.
Well, at the time, I was ordering a coffee from McDonald's, so I didn't really hear that part.
Yeah,
I'm sure the girl gave me my coffee heard. She's like, what?
She's like, and then you take the mashed potatoes. And you transfer them to the person who gave you those mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Like, and that's a thing. It's called pass the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Or hot potato. Oh. Got it.
And I was like, Dan kind of got me on that one.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Can I say one more about the documentary?
Yeah, go ahead.
So not only did he manipulate the dad into having a sexual relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
he also manipulated the mom into having sexual relations with him as well.
Right.
That went on for many, many times.
Right.
And she would say stuff like, oh, he just treated me so well and was so kind and said such nice things to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just,
And so because consequently, 70s. He got blackmail basically on these parents so that when he abducted the girl the second time, he threatened to say, hey, I'm going to, if you say anything to the police or whatever, then I will use this. And so the parents basically let him have her. And she ended up in a Catholic convent school.
At some point, she ends up in a Catholic. I forget about this point because when I watched it, for whatever reason, we were having iffy internet connection.
Right.
So I would watch it, fall asleep, wake up, and I'm like, no internet connection. And I would try and replay it. So I didn't get the whole continuity of it.
Right.
But that's right.
Yeah.
Somehow she was with him long enough.
She lived on her own because he said he worked for the CIA. And the convent bought it.
Yeah.
I don't know where they get all this money from. I really don't know because it took a lot of money to do this. And then, but again, she goes back to her family and he's still obsessed with her. And he said, you will pay for this. And at one point, the guy's flower shop burns down.
Yes.
You know, again, it's a wild ride. And it's worth seeing because you just go, you know, it's not mic drop. It's jaw drop.
Yes, it is. That's all good. And then also, if you ever, sometimes you know that there's, you get a person in your field that you know to run away from, that this person's going to come with a lot more baggage than you can handle.
Right.
They're going to insert themselves into your life in more ways than you can take care of. Mm-hmm. And be on the lookout for those people.
Well, they do. They interview B's brother.
Yes.
And B's brother, he's just a good old boy.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, you know, B or whatever. That's what they call him. He goes, you know, when he was young, we kind of called him, one of those pedophiles.
Yeah, we knew he was a pedophile.
We kind of knew he was a pedophile, and we kind of called him that. But then he got married and had kids and stuff. But, you know, to us, he was still just, you know, a pedophile.
Yeah.
So it was nothing new to us.
Yeah. We need to just keep our family away from him.
But come to find out that he had done this to other girls.
Yeah, that was a sad part.
Younger girls. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, he really was a pedophile. He just didn't.
He wasn't just obsessed with one person.
Right.
Which is crazy and insane and needs to be convicted, you know, of that crime. But when
he would get convicted and he'd get like 2 or 3 days
in
jail.
Weird stuff. Yeah. Like, not very long.
No. And seriously, like a week.
And see, here's when we were raping. Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. When you realize he was doing it to more women, more girls, and you realize that no one could stop him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be convicted.
They'd say he was so charismatic.
Yes.
And he was a used car salesman. They say he could sell cars like nobody's business. He was that charismatic.
Can I ask you a question about that phrase? I hear that phrase like, oh, car.
Which one?
About car, you know, car salesmen, used car salesmen are like really horrible, but they can sell anything, you know, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But have you ever bought a car you really didn't need? I mean, if I'm going to a car dealership, typically I want to buy a car. I need
that's
a car.
That's the old days. That's the new days.
Oh, is
in the
it?
Old
okay.
days, you could be forced to buy a car.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They would not let you go
until
you signed on. And you know, I mean,
yeah.
Here's the line, right? What can I do to put you, ass in this seat today?
In this Ford Pinto today. What can I do
for
that?
What can I do that? What can I do?
Like a
steak dinner? What can I do?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. There's nothing you could do.
Hand job?
Yeah. How far are you willing to go? Ah, my gosh. It reminds me of that one documentary about fire that, you know.
Yes.
And how.
That poor guy on fire.
Okay, so this documentary real quick, because it's just.
Because we're just doing docs today.
Not intentionally. I had a whole list of stuff to talk about today.
Have you ever Googled, like when you do Google, it always says Google Flat Earth. Did you ever notice that?
No.
Yeah. It does. That's what they were saying. You'd Google it, and it goes, Google Flat Earth.
No.
Yeah. So if Google believes it.
All right.
Now go to fire. FYRE.
It's that documentary. It's about that big musical festival down in the Caribbean or whatever. I think we talked about it before,
yes.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
But the one thing I want to say is that at some point, the customs were not going to let them bring in water to this festival.
Yeah.
And the big honcho, who was only like in his 20s.
Yeah. So his I don't know if he went to jail or not.
No.
But his family friend, this older guy.
Who was really good in business.
Yeah. But took this guy under his wing and loves this kid.
Yeah, loves this kid.
Yeah. And the kid calls him for help.
Yeah, he goes, we don't know what we're going to do. They're not going to let our water go. And unless they get $135,000 right now, you know, you're going to have to be willing to go and give him a BJ, you know, or whatever.
No, he didn't say
HJ.
That. He said you're going to have to go and suck dick.
Oh.
It was kind of metaphor.
I thought it was metaphor.
Metaphor, like, you know, you're going to have to go and, you know.
Take one for the team.
Yeah. Like my mom would always
grovel.
Say, suck kind tit. Like grovel. Yeah.
Grovel.
You're going to have to go and suck dick.
Yeah.
And he said that the older guy goes, you know, I am a gay man. And he said it to me so much, I actually started to believe that I was going to have to go and suck this guy's dick.
Yeah,
he said. So I'm sweating bullets. I go home. I take a shower. I brush my teeth. I do mouthwash, and I'm literally prepared to go and.
And
suck
I thought
this
to myself
dick.
At that moment, he really thinks he's going to have to do this.
Yeah,
I thought it was figurative.
Yeah.
I didn't know this is what it still has. I thought hashtag me too did not let this happen anymore.
Right.
Like nobody expected these kind of favors.
Yeah.
Nobody fitted to have to do these kind of favors.
Yeah. You just don't know what it's like at the border.
That's true. And
but luckily he didn't.
Yeah, luckily he didn't. The guy was nice and said, I just want to get paid first, which I'm sure he didn't get paid first. There was no money to be had after this thing. But very, very interesting.
Wow. So we've done 3 documentaries today. That's really unusual for us.
Oh, we have.
Yeah.
I know.
The Flat Earth one. I don't know. I think it's just called Flat Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we did Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yes.
And then we talked a little bit about fire.
And I want to share Abducted in Plain Sight because the memes are going around.
Yeah.
And
if you want to be cool.
Gotta know what it's all
about.
Gotta
know what it's about.
Gotta know what it's all about. Because people, I think people are fascinated with this idea that. Mm-hmm. That you just got to ask because, you know, in coaching, we tell people to ask. I was at a conference last night. I mean, we're not good at...
In the 70s, we had a friend, John C., and he was a married man.
Yeah.
And he was also bisexual.
Yes.
And he also tried to do me and Norm.
Yes.
Not together, but separately.
Which I think is
not
appropriate.
That was the 70s.
I think if he would have tried to do you and Norm together.
It would have been more appropriate.
I think it would have been more appropriate because you're a team.
But he was a good friend of ours.
Yes. Did it stop making you friends?
No.
Oh, he's like, yeah. He's like, no, dude.
We just said no.
No. No. He's like, all right.
All right. You're still my friend, dude.
Well, it's interesting because if you listen to Dan Savage, you do think.
People do say no, you know.
People do say no.
You can just say no.
You can just say no. It's okay.
And you don't have to beat the crap out of them.
No.
You don't have to put a noose around their neck.
No, exactly.
This is MAGA country.
Yeah. No, you can say no, and life can still go on and not feel awkward. Mm-hmm. Last night, though, at the conference, or 12 nights ago at the conference, she said...
You're talking about a conference that you went to last night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You want to tell a little bit about it?
Great. Briefly, it was a woman... with a man's name, who I thought was a man until it was a free conference, a motivational speaker put on by our hospital, our local hospital. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to you that I'm going to go if I can go.
It was at our old Dixon Theater, which is like in the center of town.
Yes.
And it's been revitalized.
Yes.
And on the big marquee, it said, motivational speaker, Dale Smith Thomas.
Yes.
You know, Thursday, you know, and Julie goes, if I'm home... I
might just go.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was able to go.
Yeah.
So I booked a reservation and, you know, typed in my name and just went out there. And it was packed. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked that she was a woman. Mm-hmm. I will admit, when I heard her name, Dale Smith Thomas, mm-hmm. I first thought of Wendy's hamburgers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Dave Thomas.
Yes.
Got it.
So I was just
when I hear three names, I always think serial killers.
She was neither one of those people. Yeah. So she was cool. I'll tell you something I didn't tell you yet about this experience. While walking there, I had to park kind of far away. I walked and it was all for women. So there was a lot of women shuffling and a lot of friends going together. Mm-hmm. And this woman was talking with her other friend. She goes, I looked her up on Twitter. I go, I had to read her Twitter feed beforehand because if she mentioned anything about Trump, I wasn't going to go. Now, I didn't know if that was pro or con.
Exactly, exactly.
And she's like, I was just not going to. And I thought, wow.
Yeah, how would you know?
I'm thinking to myself, if it was Obama or even Bush, no one would be walking in going, and I looked at their Twitter feed. If they were talking about Obama, like, we wouldn't have that conversation.
No, exactly.
It wouldn't be part of our lexicon. Yeah. Like, oh, we got to talk about this. No.
And I wouldn't, and if I had heard what you heard, I wouldn't know what that woman felt about it.
Yeah. And it could be this. I don't want anybody to be political anymore. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, I don't want to hear anything bad about Trump.
I don't want any jokes about Trump.
Right. Or it could be,
I want to, if they're pro-Trumpers, forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't even honor them with my presence. And that's why families should break up because, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like, really? This is stuff? Okay, so you've always told us there is nothing on the chopping block to break up a family. There's nothing. Even aliens. Even abductions. All the weird stuff. Nothing. But so I went, and she talks about when you ask, you should ask 4 different ways. Confidently, confidently. That's it. I was going to say confidentially. That's not it. Confidently, over again, but with a C.
Repetitious?
Yeah. Consistently. I wrote them all down. And the last one was creatively. Mm. And I'm thinking, well, and that's how her you know, like, don't be afraid to keep asking.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to be on Adam Carolla's podcast one. And I say this with confidence.
Yes.
And I'm going to say it over and over and over again.
I'm going to do it in creative ways. Maybe like hire a plane to say, look at my podcast. It's exactly Adam Carolla, right. Please. That's right.
You said hire a plane. That's so cute. That's exactly how I ordered flying bagels the other day. And the guy goes, what kind of bagels are flying bagels? And I went, plane.
I can't believe you said that.
That's really?
Yeah, that's funny. That's a great joke.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a great joke.
You were wondering how I was going to get that in.
I was. And yeah. You managed to do it. Yeah. You managed to do it. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was plain. Can I say, I'll say it with a funny voice and then I'll make it even better, right? And repetitiously. Okay. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.